Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Increase our number of underrepresented students on campus, but not only students, but also the recruitment of faculty and staff as well.
Moorhead State University will focus on diversity as it moves to performance-based funding.
4 cases of West Nile virus have been confirmed in Kentucky.
President Jay Morgan hopes to resolve an issue with scholarships for students from Saudi Arabia at Moorhead State.
Harvesting ginseng is banned in the Daniel Boone National Forest.
Hurricane Harvey won't hit Kentucky until late next week.
In sports, Rowan County heads to Bath County tonight for Friday night football.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear with lows around 51 tonight. Stay tuned after this news for your extended weather forecast.
The Kentucky Department for Public Health says there are 4 confirmed cases of West Nile virus in humans in Kentucky. According to WKYT, the cases are in Fayette, Hopkins, and Jefferson counties. Crews with Lexington Fayette Health County Health Department sprayed Lexington lawns several zip codes for mosquitoes this morning. According to the CDC, 42 states in Washington, D.C. have reported West Nile virus infection in people, birds, mosquitoes, or horses in 2017.
24-year-old Zachary Deming and 21-year-old Courtney Skiles are being charged with a slew of charges in connection with a crime spree in Scioto County. The couple is believed to have been out all night swiping cash, purses, wallets, credit cards, iPhones, iPads, notebooks, gift cards, driver's licenses, watches, a bicycle, and other personal items from multiple homes and cars. Deming was discovered with the help of location services from stolen phones. Skiles was located after the vehicle she had parked in a drugstore parking lot was identified in connection with the crimes. Skiles is being held on $167,500 bond. Deming is being held without bond due to outstanding felony warrants in Michigan. The investigation is ongoing.
Police have charged 5 people in the murder of a Lexington man. WKYT reports one of the people charged was already in custody, charged with another murder. Charles Shyrock, who is 29 years old, died on July 22nd after being shot East 3rd Street and Race Street. Shyrock's partner says they were walking to the store when they witnessed a robbery. The suspect fired shots and one bullet hit Shyrock. Lexington police were able to stop Marvel Lacey and a 16-year-old right after the shooting on Race Street. At the time, police charged both with fleeing and evading first, criminal mischief third, and drug charges. Detectives later determined that 3 other people were also involved in the crime: Jamel Barber, another 16-year-old, and a 16-year-old female who officers identified as the getaway driver. Police now believe the 5 suspects had targeted a house on Race Street to commit a robbery, leading to an exchange of gunfire in the house.
A firefighter with Campbellsburg Fire and Rescue died after participating in search and rescue drills on Thursday. LEX18 reports that shortly after participating in the drills, 60-year-old Thomas P. McBride said he was having difficulty breathing. He removed his breathing apparatus and cooled down. He started to feel better and asked to return to training. Instead of returning to training, he was reassigned to operate the pump on the engine. He collapsed a short time later, according to Supporting Heroes. Resuscitation efforts were started, and he was transported to an area hospital where he died a short time later. McBride was a firefighter for 42 years. He is survived by 2 adult children, his parents, and a grandson.
Moorhead State University is hoping to attract and retain more students who are underrepresented. Dr. Charles Holloway spoke about the issue to the MSU Board of Regents in a special meeting on Thursday. He says one place on campus is a big help with diverse student retention.
One of the things that I think, as I also mentioned, is that we have a EDEC, which is Eagle Diversity Education Center, which is really a place where a lot of our underrepresented students do hang out. But it's also a way of them being able to integrate themselves, not only there, but also a place for them to study, network with each other, but then also work throughout the rest of the campus as well.
Holloway reported that just 7.7% of MSU students are from an underrepresented category. Only 12 members of the tenured or tenured track faculty are in that category as well.
Morehead State University's president is hopeful for some good news from the Saudi Arabian Cultural Embassy. The embassy barred new Saudi Arabian students from receiving scholarships to attend Morehead State this April. Dr. Jay Morgan says MSU is keeping communications open in hopes of resolving the issue.
We had a recent meeting with them on Monday, the Saudi Arabia Cultural Mission in Fairfax, Virginia, just outside D.C. And as a part of that meeting, we worked through issues that the cultural mission there had with Morehead. And we have at least some very positive verbal comments that we can maybe reopen that relationship.
If Morehead State's roster of Saudi Arabian students is not replaced in the next 4 years, the university will be on track to lose approximately $13.5 million.
As part of a $4.5 million renovation project that was completed at Rowan County Senior High School last summer, a new front security entrance system was put in, and Principal Ray Ginner says it's worked well. Ginter says after classes started in the morning, the building essentially goes on lockdown and two school employees monitor the security entrance, making sure they know who is coming and going into the building. Ginter says it's made the faculty much safer.
You know, I can remember times in the past where you could walk in the front door and just go anywhere you wanted to go. Now you can't. Now when you check in, you have to show your ID, you know, unless they recognize you, and sign in. And then from that point, you have to tell where you're going, when you'll be back. You have to sign out when you leave, so we know all the time who's in and who's out.
Ginter says that kind of security has brought a lot of peace of mind to Rowan County Senior's faculty, staff, and students.
The National Forest Service has extended its ban on harvesting wild ginseng in the Daniel Boone National Forest. WKYT reports the harvesting season usually runs from September 1st to December 1st, but the activity was suspended last year in response to declining ginseng populations. Botanist David Taylor says ginseng can be sold for hundreds of dollars per pound, but harvesting the endangered plant could cost you more than that.
Well, if you're on national forest, you could be subjected to fines of up to about $5,000 and 6 months in prison.
Nearly 20 individuals have already been fined for illegal harvesting in the Daniel Boone National Forest. Officials have not decided when they will lift the ban.
Hurricane Harvey will impact the coast of Texas this weekend with winds topping at 115 miles an hour. Harvey is expected to develop into a Category 3 storm before it hits the Gulf Coast. As the storm moves north towards the Midwest, rain is expected to follow. Kevin Sullivan is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Jackson. He says it isn't likely that the storm will impact eastern Kentucky.
The system's going to kind of hit the coast down there in Texas and then kind of stall through the middle of next week. So the system's not going to move a whole lot. It's just going to dump a lot of rain down in Texas and Louisiana. It's really not going to move towards us all that quickly.
Sullivan says any effect the storm may have on the area will not hit until late next week or into the Labor Day weekend.
Volunteers with Kentucky's Red Cross are on their way to Texas to start helping with hurricane relief efforts. Kentucky Red Cross CEO Jennifer Adrio says the first 7 volunteers will prepare shelters and mobilize supplies, with more workers and response trucks on standby if needed.
Our volunteers are so committed. Once they do it, they want to keep doing it. So it's very rewarding for them.
The Red Cross has more than 17 shelters ready to open in Texas, with supplies of cots, blankets, cleaning supplies, and more on reserve.
Spectrum cable and internet customers in Lexington had the chance to air their grievances to company officials during a public meeting last night at the city's senior center. Officials from the city say they've gotten hundreds of complaints about such things as service and price increases since Carter Communications bought Time Warner Cable last year, forming Spectrum. Charter spokesman Mike Pendlety says the company is doing what it can to address customers' concerns, including the opening of a new, larger store on Nicholasville Road that features longer hours.
Listen, there's always going to be some pains when you change from one company to the next. There's different ways Time Warner Cable did things that Charter, the way that Charter does things. And we understand that. We appreciate that. We try to do our best to communicate to our customers. We try to make sure that we let them know their options.
Mayor Jim Gray said the city is working to bring real competition for cable and internet. The city signed a 10-year non-exclusive franchise agreement with what was then Insight back in 2014. That agreement spells out a list of protections for Lexington customers and certain provisions by which the charter must abide by. According to that agreement, the city can penalize the company or terminate the franchise if they violate certain conditions.
A Floyd County man is dead after being struck by a car while trying to cross the road. WYMT reports 38-year-old Nicholas Adkins was walking on U.S. 23 in Ivel last night when he was hit. The road was closed for several hours as the Floyd County Coroner and Kentucky State Police investigated the scene. It reopened early this morning. The driver of the car has not yet been identified.
The city of Moorhead will host a ribbon-cutting ceremony for its dog park on Thursday. The Chamber Leadership Academy decided to create the dog park after requests from Moorhead citizens. The park is located at Don Greenhill City Park behind the basketball courts. Executive Director of the Chamber, Tracy Williams, says the park offers a variety of things for dogs and their owners.
We have a few dog toys. One is the King of the Mountain, which is a little bridge that goes up and down that they can run and walk on. And the other is a jumping hurdle, and it's adjustable. There's a picnic table, a bench for people to sit and enjoy.
Williams says the park will be beneficial to the community because many residents live in apartments without a yard for their dogs. The ribbon cutting will be held at 5 p.m. on Thursday.
An official hopes the U.S. Forest Service will give the Daniel Boone National Forest funding to pay for further upgrades to the road that leads up to the popular Lakiji Rock tourist attraction in Rowan County. Last year, it spent over $30,000 to do some resurfacing on Lakiji Road. However, Cumberland District Ranger John Kazmierski says another $40,000 is required to fix the road's ditch lines, replace its culverts, and do some rock work.
A road only lasts a long time if the water gets off the road as soon as it rains. When you have water that puddles and saturates the roadbed, it makes the road soft and susceptible to potholes. So our focus in this next phase, too, is to make some improvements that funnels the water off the road quickly, I should say, and then also make sure the water gets down the drainage and out into the forest where it belongs.
Kazmierski says he'll know at the end of the month, at the end of next month, if the U.S. Forest Service will put the money in its 2018 budget for Phase 2 of the Lakiji Road project. He also plans to talk with the Rowan Fiscal Court about better ways to preserve the road.
A new ordinance in Ashland may mean fines for landlords who rent to drug dealers. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has the story.
Under the proposed ordinance, landlords who do not evict tenants who commit felonies may have to face daily fines or spend as much as a year in jail. The ordinance does not affect landlords who rent to tenants who have committed felonies in the past. Ashland Police Chief Todd Kelly tells WSAZ this ordinance will hopefully stop drug activity in the city by holding landlords accountable for what happens on their property. The first reading was passed on Thursday. A second reading will be held soon. For WMKY, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent hopes the city can finalize the purchase of a piece of land that will become home to its new police and fire station in either September or October. While negotiations continue, Trent says he can't identify its location. He adds the deal is hinging on a possible utility easement there. The mayor, though, will confirm that the town has decided to construct one building instead of two for its first responder agencies.
It's going to hold the 911 dispatchers and a 911 center. It's going to hold the police station, and it's going to hold our fire station. And with some dormitory-type dorms in it, we've been hesitant to release any kind of drawings or anything because we want to make sure we get what we need, because those would certainly be affected if we have to go to a different size or different layout on a lot.
Trent notes the city will save $1 million on the project by building just one facility for its police and fire departments and emergency responders. Nearly $5 million had initially been budgeted to possibly build two structures. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 55. On Saturday, clear skies, highs will be around 79, lows getting down to around 57. On Sunday, mostly sunny during the day with highs near 81, partly cloudy at night with lows around 60. Starting off your week on Monday, partly sunny with highs near 79 degrees. It's currently 76 degrees in Lexington, 74 degrees in Flemingsburg, 77 degrees in Ashland, and it is 76 degrees in Inez, Winchester, and here on the campus of Morehead State University.
In our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff notes that even God is at risk of being displaced by technology.
Have you seen the evocative signs that have appeared in our region where billboard space along highways has been bought by none other than that master of public relations, God? One sign says, "Let's talk, God." Another one says, "I'm watching, God." The latter is of interest today. The rhetoric of the sign includes a line of thinking that begins with the presumption that being watched is somehow important. God does it, or rather, as we shall see today, used to do it until he was downsized. The sign, though, presumes a cultural context where being watched matters. Our behavior matters. Even when you are alone, as it goes, God is watching, therefore you are being watched. For many a century, religions of various kinds have used this premise to spin arguments for and against certain forms of behavior. But what happens when God is either forcibly removed from cultural spaces or is replaced by something else, in this case, a true deus ex machina communication technology? But more properly put, it should read, machina ex deus. For now, even the atheist is being watched. Hundreds of millions of public and private surveillance cameras, billions of cameras and microphones on phones, tablets, and PCs hungrily searching for hot words like OK or Alexa. Audio and video scooped up and stored by the frequency with which you visit the bathroom, which you and God only knew until lately, is now easily tabulated. We are watched, just like God used to watch us, in a panopticon from which there is no escape. And for the same reason, for our own good. For our own good, not for your own good. Lamentable as it is, God has been kicked out of a job. Remember how often you have heard people explaining the utility and the instrumentality of the deity, wherein the role of God and heavenly rules is assumed to be a supernatural regulator on human behavior, providing the basis for morals, ethics, and law. Well, now that God has been scrubbed so cleanly from so many regions of our public discourse, something had to come in to take up the duty of watching us, to save us from ourselves. Cameras and microphones and the networks that connect them have now taken up that duty. And yes, even atheists, who used to be free of the regulatory influences of supernatural surveillance, now suffer aside the theists, knowing that at all times they are likely being watched and judged. Yes, there is something egalitarian about machine-based omnipresent and omniscient surveillance, but the terrifying difference between God and AI-managed surveillance is that, we suppose, God has compassion and a will to forgive. Face recognition and behavior analysis do not. Systems matching data with presumptions composed by imperfect, biased humans writing code must lack compassion. This techno-god, always watching, nearly omniscient, even more nearly omnipresent, approaches also the third godly trait, omnipotence. The world is now a confessional, but does the Lord of Surveillance know how to forgive? I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 449 and 76 degrees here in Morehead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Ellen Barnett, and we're glad to have you with us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Sean Delaney has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
The Battle at Bath. Good day to you. This is WMKY Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. Looking for a 2-0 start to the season, the Rowan County football team is in Owingsville this evening at 7:30 to tangle with Bath County. Coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings will be out to avenge last year's 40-14 defeat against Bath and thinks tonight's rematch will be won or lost at the line of scrimmage.
Personally, I think it will. Their offensive line is a good line. But I think ours, where we are, we're two platooning, and I think we're going to be deep, and I think the game will be won up front.
While this will be game two for the year for 1-0 Rowland, the contest will mark Bath County's season opener. Elsewhere in area high school football tonight, rivals Fleming County and Mason County square off in Maysville. It's Fleming's first game of 2017, and Coach Bill Spencer really likes the way his Panthers are looking.
Our strength is our skill kids. We know said we return our quarterback and our top three receivers, and on defense we return most of our linebacking core and our secondaries.
Some other games: West Carter hosts Powell, Raceland travels to Ashland Blazer, Fairview visits Boyd, East Carter entertains Lewis, and McGoffin visits Lawrence. Less than a week out from the Eagles' first game of the year, Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenure likes where his team is right now. According to Tenure, things have been coming along nicely for his squad in recent days.
I don't know if you're ever satisfied, but I am pleased with our progress. I think every week we've gone out, you know, we've become more productive, and our playmakers are being more productive now, which I think is the most important thing. Guys that we're counting on to make plays are starting to make plays on both sides of the football, so that's really important.
The MSU football team takes on Kentucky Christian next Thursday in its season opener at Jane Stadium. ESPN is reporting that Cincinnati Bengals starting safety Sean Williams is recovering well and will not require surgery. Head coach Marvin Lewis says that 26-year-old Williams is still looking to start on opening day. Williams went to the ground following a play during Saturday's game against the Chiefs and was taken to the locker room in a cart. Meanwhile, the preseason pushes on for the Bengals. They're traveling to face Washington at 4:30 on Sunday. The Cincinnati Reds are back at Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 to begin a weekend series with Pittsburgh. The Reds start the day at 54-74, but will be returning to action after scoring three times at the bottom of the eighth last night and beating the Cubs 4-2. Manager Brian Price thinks that triumph says a lot about his team's grit.
You know what? I think anyone that's listening to me talk that's looks at the Reds at 20 games under 500 is going to say, hey, this guy's a nutcase if he's going to sit there and talk about how great the team is. But what we do is show up every day and play hard.
The Reds will send 1-4 rookie Robert Stevens into the mound tonight. The Pirates will go with 11-game winner and former Yankee Ivan Nova. The Moorhead State volleyball team's 2017 campaign began earlier today with the start of the Eagle Challenge at Weatherby Gym. Earlier today against Delaware State, the Eagles pulled off a 3-0 sweep, 25-10, 25-17, and 25-13. Meanwhile, Coach Jamie Gordon believes this could be a great year for his Eagles, who says they have a lot of potential.
I think we're going to see a lot of growth throughout the season. I think because of our youth, the product that we put out on the floor in the end of August and beginning of September will be very different from what we wind up being able to grow into come October and November. So I think that part as a coach is very exciting.
The MSU volleyball team has another match tonight as the Eagles battle Youngstown State at 7 o'clock. The Moorhead State soccer team is at home tonight. Still looking for that first victory of 2017, Coach Warren Lipka's 0-2 Eagles will be at Jane Stadium at 6 to take on Bowling Green.
We're looking to keep on getting better, as that's what our, you know, that's what we're going by this year. So, Bowling Green's going to be a well-coached team. They're organized. They're hard. They're tough. We got to come back and come out and match their intensity and make sure we're competitive.
After facing 1-0 Bowling Green, the Moorhead women will be off until next Friday when they visit Kennesaw State down in Georgia. And finally, in sports, Louisville has agreed to a 10-year partnership extension with Adidas through 2028, worth $160 million. The extension announced on Friday replaces the 5-year, $39 million sponsorship deal with a sportswear maker that was due to end in 2019. Besides providing shoes and uniforms, Adidas will provide marketing support for Louisville's 23 programs and athletic facility improvements. And that's it for sports. For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball will host the Eagle Challenge this weekend, featuring matches with Delaware State, Winthrop, and Youngstown State. Soccer welcomes Bowling Green tonight at 6 p.m. at Jane Stadium. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mostly higher on new hopes for tax reform, with the Dow notching its first weekly gain in the last 3 weeks. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 30.27 at 21,813.67. The S&P 500 was up 4.08 at 2443.05. The NASDAQ Composite was down 5.68 on some weakness in big tech stocks, finishing at 6265.64. The broader market was strong as winners outpaced losers on the New York Stock Exchange by just over a 2-to-1 margin. Markets also got a boost today from a speech by Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen, as well as European Central Bank President Mario Draghi. Yellen said the financial system is safer now than it was in the years surrounding the housing crisis, while Draghi said the global recovery is, quote, firming up. Yellen offered no clues about the future of monetary policy, instead focusing on the history of the crisis and what regulators have done in response. Yellen did not comment on the path for future rate increases. President Donald Trump will start publicly campaigning for highly anticipated tax reform next week, according to his chief economic advisor, Gary Cohn. In an interview, Cohn said that the president will begin calling for long-awaited reform on taxes next Wednesday when he visits Missouri. On the data front, orders for durable goods tumbled 6.8% last month as bookings for transportation equipment plunged 19%, and this drop in orders was the biggest since August 2014 and followed a 6.4% increase in June. After the remarks today by Fed Chair Yellen and Mario Draghi, sovereign bond prices were up, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to 2.17%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.75% at $47.79, while gold was up 0.3% at $1,295.90 an ounce. The stocks in Europe, the Stock 600 index was down 0.8%, and in Asia, the Nikkei average was up 0.5%, and the Shanghai Composite finished with a gain of 1.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and Disney. The worst performers were Boeing and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were American Airlines and Autodesk, and the worst performers were Ulta Beauty and Broadcom. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 16 cents at 61.48, CSX up 47 cents at 48.85, AK Steel unchanged at 5.28, Marathon Petroleum up 60 cents at 51.73, AEP up 20 cents at 73.59, and Kroger was up 64 cents to finish at 21.74. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hello, I'm Ricky Watts, a nursing director at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate registered nurses to join our team. Nursing is more than just a profession at St. Clair Regional. We have new RN rates and benefit packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website, st-clair.org.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Sam Burton, Sean Delaney, Tilden Johnson, Kenzie Thompson, and Logan Pemberton. With our feature segment this afternoon, thank you goes out to commentator John Modav. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.